Okay, this week is Parashas Akef. Let's begin with an idea. V'hoya Akef Tishvun Eis HaMishpatim Ho'ele. Rashi, what is the word Akev? Akev, the Targum translates Chalaf. Chalaf means Ba'avur. It will be if in reward, Ba'avur, because of listening to HaMishpatim Ho'ele, then HaKadosh Baruch will promise, will give you an enormous bracha. Question is, why did the Torah choose to use the word Akef? There are many other words the Torah could have chosen. So Rashi, famous Rashi, im ha-mitzos, which mitzos specifically referring to? It's a specific group of mitzos. Im ha-mitzos, ha-kalos, the lightweight mitzos, she-odom dosh be'akoval. A person trembles upon with his heels, tishma'un, then you will receive the bracha of Ushmartem Vasisma Sam Vishamar Shemukah Hashem Gashem will reward you. Okay, so the question over here is, we learn from this Rashi, you saw it, it's the mitzvah kaloi sh'odom dosh be'akavav. Simply means mitzvah which people don't take seriously. Other commentators learn, no, that we're referring specifically to mitzvahs which indeed you step on. And that's very challenging, because how many mitzvahs are there already that you actually use your feet? No, Kisi Adam, you're not even allowed to use your feet. It's a bezayon. You have to use your hands. Kisi Adam, to use your feet is not proper. You're supposed to take earth with your hands and cover it. It's a bizui mitzvah to use your foot with Kisi Adam. So how many mitzvahs do you actually use with your foot for?
You go to Davin, you got kahal.
What? But that's hakdam, that's the hachonel mitzvah. That's not the actual mitzvah itself. Aliyah l'regel. Okay, so one answer given, I believe it says this, I don't have the sources for you, so we're going to have to search for it, is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah is to live. How many mitzvahs do you enter with your feet, with your boots, There are only two mitzvahs, so use your feet. The sukkah, you go into the sukkah with your feet, and you go into Eretz Yisrael with your feet. But sukkah is not such a good example, because, okay, alright, it's a good example, but I saw some of the farshim say that Akev refers dosh ba'kavav. You live in Eretz Yisrael. Every moment that you tread upon the land of Eretz Yisrael, that's a mitzvah of Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. There's another mitzvah which is a little bit bizarre to us. A little bit how we once discussed this. It's hard for us to relate to, because it's not that we do the mitzvah nowadays, but it refers to the mitzvah of tzitzis. This it says in many commentators. I think it says in the Medrash, in the Kuvi, it's a Gemara. A person steps on the tzitzis. Now today, no one would dare today step on their tzitzis. If a person's talus and the tzitzis are dragging on the floor, they'll get dirty, and your neighbor will say to you, you know, why don't you don't be such a shemazel, a slob. Pick up the tzitzis should not drag on the floor. It's bizui mitzvah, it's a disgrace for the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's definitely true, that's halacha lemaise, that's the way we practice the mitzvah in today's day and age. But it is absolutely clear that in ancient times, among certain groups of people, the custom was bedafka, that the tzitzis should make contact with the ground. They wore very long four-cornered garments, and the tzitzis would drag on the ground. And what? The reason is because that's what the mitzvah is. You have a garment. The garment covers your entire body. The Torah is put on the corner of your garment, tzitzis, and that's what the Torah wants. The Torah wants that the corners of the garment, the tzitzis, the fringes, should drag along the ground. And what?
That's just an indirect
effect. And that's what the Mefarshim say on this pasuk. Dosh va'kavav. It refers specifically to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Because if you're wearing a long garment, long robe, as was common in ancient times, and the tzitzis are dragging on the ground, when you step, inevitably you're going to be stepping on the tzitzis. And that's really exactly what Hashem wanted. Hashem wants that when you walk, you should be stepping on the tzitzis, and that will be a reminder. How are you going to see it? Because you can always find yourself being caught on your own steps. And it's going to cause you to look down, look at your tzitzis when you're stepping on. Today we don't do this. Today this is unheard of. It's a bizui mitzvah. But there's no question. Look in the source. Look in Hilchot Tzitz. Look in the Mefarshim, the Midrashim. This was the way the mitzvah of tzitz was practiced in ancient times.
That's the only way to find out to beside the midst of cities, to put his foot on the cities, a college proper couldn't give them a more direct
mitzvah. That's the form of the mitzvah. Even today, among certain groups of Hasidim, we want to have a discussion when it comes to the ritzuas of tum. Today, no one would dare let the ritzuas fall on the floor. Right? You're always careful. You put it on the table and you wrap it up. You don't want the ritzuas to fall on the floor. But that's not so. The Hasidim, the davka, when you take out the ritzuas, when you take out your tefillin, your bedavka, you throw the ritzuas on the floor. And it represents the idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Hashem Nikola, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shechina, it channels all the way down to the Tachtoinim, all the way down to the earth. So the way we do the mitzvah, we don't do that. Among us, that's not accepted, to go take your ritzuras when you take out and to let it go on the floor. But there are people that do this, and they are sources. And it's very similar to tzitzis. Tzitzis is a mitzvah, sha'odam, dosh, bi'akavav. You step on. So I want to suggest the following. There's a new way of looking at the mitzvah of tzitzis. We always look at tzitzis, it's a reminder, but I want to try to show you that there's a very strong connection between the mitzvah of tzitzis and the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Again, there are two popular mamari chazal. Dosh v'akavav is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You live in Eretz Yisrael. Tzitzis is also dosh v'akavav. There are two sides of one coin. The two go hand in hand. For example, this week's parasha is the second parasha of Kriya Shema. The second parasha of Kriya Shema, V'choya im Shemoya. The last words of the parasha, L'man yirbu yimeichem v'mevenechem al ho'adama asher nishba Hashem l'avasechem l'seis lochem. The last parasha of Kriya Shema describes the mitzvah, do the mitzvahs in order that you live long on the land, Eretz Yisrael. And then what do we say every day? What do we say in davening every day? Chazal have appended to the first two parashas of Kriya Shema the mitzvah of tzitzis. Why? That's not part of the mitzvah deraisa. So the answer is because the mitzvah every day to say zechiras yitzias mitzrayim. There's no shortage of parashios in the Torah that mention yitzias mitzrayim. Chazal had at their disposal many, many mitzvahs that mention yitzias. And why did Chazal specifically select tzitzis to connect for the yitzias mitzrayim right after the parasha of the Hoyim Shema? Well, the answer is because the mitzvah of tzitzis is not just a mitzvah of looking, it's also a mitzvah of a reminder for Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah that you do with your feet. You live in the land. You step upon the land. You travel through the land. Hashem told the first beginning of the mitzvah, by the way, is Lech Lecha. The mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael was introduced actually through the feet. Vayom Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha. Me'artzcha, me'latcha, me'be'esavicha, el'oris ha'sha'areka. The mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael was introduced with the feet. And the mitzvah of Tzitzis is the mitzvah she'odam dosh ba'akavav. The two go hand in hand. Me'el Chazal ba'akavav. So therefore, Chazal, when they're coming, telling us over here that we're going to connect l'man yibu yimeichem v'nei v'neichem al ho'adama. Al ho'adama asher nishba Hashem lavaseichem. Also, now we have to also discuss Yitzias Mitzrayim. We might as well mention a mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim that captures the essence of Eretz Yisrael. Of mitzvah she'odam dosh ba'akavav tzitzis. Before we begin in bracha v'ahava rabbah, when we come to the expression ve'avi'enu l'shalom me'arba kanfei saretz v'solichenu komimius li'artzenu. What is the minog? To take the four tzitzis, to collect the tzitzis. Why are you collecting the tzitzis? Okay, there are many reasons. There's no shortage of reasons, but another reason is because the mitzvah of tzitzis is the mitzvah of Havi'enu l'shalom me'arba kanfei saretz v'so licheinu kol memius li'artzeinu. The mitzvah of tzitzis is the mitzvah she'odam dosh ba'akavav, it's the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, that is why we bedavka take hold of the tzitzis. And another explanation of why dafka tzitzis, because tzitzis reminds us, various gematrias of Tayag Mitzvos, Tzitzis, and the five knots, and the eight strings, the gematria Tayag Mitzvos, Re'isim Mitzvos, Chaitim is Kol Mitzvos Hashem V'asisim Osam. Where can you be Mekayim all the Mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Only in Eretz Yisrael. You can't be Mekayim all the Mitzvos in Chutz Li'aretz. You're missing the Beis HaMikdash. You're missing the Mitzvos Shetlios Ba'aretz. Kol Mitzvos Hashem is Bedavka in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mitzvah of Tzitzis goes part and parcel with the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz. It's an extension which is captured in this one word, Ekev Teshmun, Adam Dosh Be'akevav, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Tzitzis, the two go together hand in hand. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, I wanted to surround it. I didn't see this inside, so we have to look it up. But it's a very fascinating idea from the Alshech. It seems that it's a popular Alshech on this pasuk. If we read the pasuk, we would translate the words V'hoya Ekev Tishmun. If you will listen to Hashem's mitzvah, Esa Mishpotam Eila. And what else does Hashem want from you? Hashem also wants from you Ushemartem Va'asisem Osam. You will guard them and you will do them. Then Hashem will take over. V'shamar Hashem lokech l'cho esabris v'yesaches. So the Alshech has a different translation of the pasuk. He learns Pshuta Shel Mikra is all you have to do is Ekev Tishmu'un. Eis hamishpatim oil. All you have to do, if only you will listen. Listen means to not just listen, but to take to heart the mitzvahs. That's all you got to do. The rest of the pasuk, according to the interpretation of the Al Shech, is Hashem says, I'll take over. I will guarantee ushemartem, that you, I'm giving you a bracha, that you will remain observant. That you will be, for the rest of your life, ushmartem, you will guard the mitzvos, va'asi sem osam. They will live in a generation where there's a lot of concern that people should, people should continue. No one, chas shalom, should be at risk. Everyone, we're all looking for the technique where a person can be guaranteed that all future generations will remain Torah-observant Jews. The pasuk here is telling you, giving you a bracha. Hashem says, I will guarantee ushmartem, that you and your children, I will see to it that they will remain observant. They will be ushmartem, they will guard the mitzvos, va'asisem osam. That's part of my bracha to you, according to the Al Shech. Only, what do you have to do? You just have to be serious. All you have to do is ekef tishmon. If only you will listen. You will listen, meaning you will accept. If you will accept and be sincere in your acceptance of the mitzvah, everything else will flow. You will be siyata deshmaya, that you will be ushmartem v'asisem, and Hashem will guard the bris, and everything will be good. It's a whole new way of looking at the pasuk, and it's an interesting idea which you can develop in your own way. Okay, let me go to another idea, the new idea. This is a very beautiful idea. This idea made a very powerful impression upon me. It comes from one of my new favorites, from I've mentioned him many times, Vayoymer Eliyahu, by Harav Hagoyin Rav Eliyahu Atya, one of the very big, very, very big Rabbanim, Sfardish Rabbanim Neret Yisrael. He's a master darshan. He has a very beautiful idea. He has a question. The question connecting the last week's parsha and this week's parsha. The last pasuk of last week's parsha, Shavas Nacham, right? The Levav V'Eschanan V'Shamarta, you shall guard Es Hamitzvah V'Esachukim V'Esamishpotim Ashenochi Mitzavicha Hayom La'Asoysam. You shall guard the mitzvah and the chukim and the mishpatim. Three things: mitzvah, chukim, mishpatim. Asher anochi mitzavicha hayoyim, today la'asosam, to do it. Yiskadal v'yiskadash v'yabal. The parasha ends nachamu nachamu ami haftara, and now we come to this week's parasha. Big problem, yeah.
The last
pasuk
in the
previous
parasha says our mitzvah singular.
Yeah.
Which mitzvah is he talking about?
V'shamarta es hamitzvah, which mitzvah I do not know. Knowing Hashem, v'yodata ki Hashem lokechol hu elokim hokel hanemun Hashem harbris v'chesed. I think it's a general term for all mitzvahs. Why is it Lashon Yachid? Okay, it's a good question. It's a good question. There must be an answer. I don't know the answer.
It's around four or five times in the Torah they use the singular mitzvah.
Singular instead of plural. I don't know the answer. Okay, it's a good, definitely a good question.
The Gemara's terminology in Avodah Zarah is that whenever it says one mitzvah, that's the neged kol mitzvah. The Torah is talking about Avodah Zarah.
All encompassing.
Talk about Avodah Zarah, which is the most chomer of all averus. In other words, that's the most important mitzvah. That's the foundation of Yiddishkeit. And the Gemara Darshan's, when it says the word mitzvah, a lot of times it means it's talking about Avodah Zarah.
Yeah. This is sort of an expression that it means you can't divide it up and pick and choose the mitzvahs.
Every mitzvah is special in its own right.
It's all one.
Okay, so here's the question. Here's, because it's a very beautiful idea. We have a very big problem. The problem is, the very last pasuk, it says, Hayoim, Hayoim la'asosam, Rashi. Hayoim la'asosam. Today is when you do the mitzvah. Ula Rashi adds from the Gemara. Ulamachar. What's ulamachar? La'olam haba, in the next world, litol secharim, is when you will receive reward. So the end of Parshas Veschanan concludes with, don't have any expectation to receive reward for mitzvos in this world. This world is time to invest. Invest in Torah mitzvos ma'asim tovim, hayoyim la'asoysam. Ulamachar, in the next world, a world that we are not knowledgeable of, we have emunah in, we are not knowledgeable of, is when it was going to be the reward Olam Haba.
There's no concept of the Schar Olam Haba.
That's what it says in last week's parsha. That's what it says, right? I'm not making this up. It says what? I'm reading. Let's just focus on the pasuk. Let's for the moment, let's read what it says in Rashi. Hayoyim la'asaisam. The whole Sefer Eve we're dealing with, struggling with this. Hayoyim la'asaisam. Ulamachar la'olam haba little schara, right?
Can we
Gemara in Erevin, Nafchav Beis Amin Aleph, yeah.
Can we interpret ulamachar meaning the next generations?
No, right, the Gemara clearly defines ulamachar. It doesn't say the word ulamachar here, it's a diuk. Hayom lafuke machar. What is this machar? Machar, the Gemara clearly defines as olam haba. Unless you want to define the next generation as being Olam Haba, it's a little bit of a stretch, but Olam Haba is Olam Haba, it's a Gemara Masech Darvin. Okay, now what's the next pasuk in the Torah? What's the next pasuk in the Torah? V'chaya Ekev Tishmun. If you will only listen, Eis HaMishpatim O'Ela, then Hashem will give you brach, according to the Al Shechu, Shmartem, V'asisim Osam, and what else? V'shamar Hashem L'kech L'chos HaBris, V'yasaches, V'asher Nishpa L'Avosecha, V'ahivecha, V'erachecha, V'hirbecha. Oh, Hashem will bless you. He will love you, He'll bless you, He'll increase you. You know what else He'll do to you? U'veirach pri-vitnecha. He'll bless your children. U'fri ad-mosecha. Your produce. Digonecha. Let's be specific here. Not symbolic. Digonecha, your grain. V'siroshcha, your wine. V'yitzarecha, your oil. Shigar alofecha, your animals. V'ashtereit senecha, your sheep. Okay, your flocks of sheep. Alhu adam upon the earth. Asher nishpa la'vasecha los eslach. Baruch diem mikolam lo yibach okav akar ve'emtecha. These are brachos l'fi pshuta. Ein miko yoytse midei pshutai. These are brachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you reward in this world. What in the world is going on? We have a contradiction between the end of last week's parasha and this week's parasha. Like two different worlds. Last week's parasha says in this world is no reward. And the very next pasuk tells us is going to be incredible reward in this world for observing the mitzvos. Isn't it a good kasha? A contradiction, and right in between it says we have the Haftarah Nachamu Nachamu Ani. Rav Adya says that's really the answer to the question. Nachamu Nachamu Ani, a double Nechama. There are many interpretations of why there's a double Nechama. One of the popular interpretations of why we need a double Nechama is because all the punishments were double. Why all the punishments double? Because it's a very scary Chazal. Not only did the Jewish people at the time of the Churban do Averos. That's one side, they did an Avera. They actually enjoyed doing the Averos. They had pleasure in doing the Averos. Zelu mazeh bar Elokim. When it comes to doing mitzvos, Hashem doesn't want us just to do the mitzvos. Hashem wants us to enjoy doing the mitzvos. Tachas asher lo yavadetos Hashem Elokecha. Period. Hashem, number one, has complained against you. Tachas asher lo yavadetos Hashem Elokecha. Number two, you didn't, even if you would have done it, you didn't do it b'simcha uvituv levav. You have to enjoy the mitzvah. That was the sin of Klal Yisrael. And because Klal Yisrael sinned by doing averos and enjoying doing averos, we were punished doubly. We had double punishment. Hashem punished us for doing the averos, and He punished us for our joy in doing the averos. The other nations of the world took delight; they took joy in destroying us. And in Mela, when we need nechama, we need a double nechama of number one of doing the way we nechama is once again to have an opportunity to do the mitzvos, and number two to enjoy doing the mitzvos. That's what it says here, and that's what the pasuk here begins in the parasha of V'Hayah. Chazal tell us every time it says the word V'Hayah, ain't V'Hayah ela lashon simcha. Simcha, the word V'Hayah is always used to refer to as time of simcha. What it's telling us over here is V'Hayah, if you will enjoy doing the mitzvos, Nachamu Nachamu Ami, I'll give you a nechama. I'll give you an opportunity to do the mitzvah. Give you an opportunity to enjoy the mitzvahs. And if you now v'hoyo, you will enjoy the mitzvah, then I will give you brach. In other words, there's no contradiction. Reward for the etzem ha-mitzvah, for doing the mitzvah, you put on tefillin. For putting on tefillin, there is no reward you can possibly receive in this world. There's no reward. The reward will come in the next world. But if you enjoy putting on the tefillin, if you study the deeper meaning of tefillin and take delight in putting on the tefillin, for that, there is reward in this world. The reward, the previous parasha says, V'shamarta es ha-mitzvah v'yetzachukim v'yetzamishpatim asher anochim v'tzavach hayom la'asoysam. When it comes to the mitzvos, the chukim mishpatim, the actual doing of the mitzvah, the asiyas mitzvah, the physical fulfillment, the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Hayoyim. But the hoya, for the simcha you have in doing the mitzvah, that is reward in this world. All the reward that we receive in this world, that the parashas Ekev lays out for us in such beautiful detail, the reward for the mitzvah is for ein v'hoya ela lashon simcha. That we receive in this world, and that sandwich in between Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Nachamu, Nachamu captures is the connection between the last week's parasha and this week's parasha. Because Nachamu, Nachamu is double. Why is it double? Because in the Chazal, there's the Asiyas HaMitzvah, and the Asiyas HaVeira, for that matter, doing the Aveira, and the pleasure in doing the Aveira. Zelu Maze is to do, not do an Aveira, but do a mitzvah. And not just do a mitzvah out of rote, mitzvah Nashim Limuda, to do a besimcha. Tacha Shalavatis Melech besimcha. Simcha, that's this week's parasha of Yehoya, for the simcha that you will receive reward in this world.
There is a concept of Beis Boilem Azeh, so that comes also
that Karen, so you have to say that according to this idea that even the simcha, even the simcha, the Karen is still Olam Haba. The peros of the simcha, the peros of the, but even the etzemah mitzvah itself, that is an ein l'shayer. That is in the next world.
Yeah.
But the simcha of the peros of the asiyas mitzvah is in this world. Okay, let's go to another idea.
The original void.
Yeah. Divayol says.
The simcha, like.
You have to have both.
Shaila is such a shtiraf, such a einish, is because it didn't do the simcha.
The answer is yeah.
Do it.
The simcha v'tuv leiva. That's the answer.
Coming up next Friday.
About simcha and showing
up. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea. We have in this week's parasha. Let me just throw out a couple of things about Birchas Hamazon. The Achalta, this week is a very parasha. The Achalta, the Sevata, the Rachta, Shem Lokech, a couple of short ideas. A collection of short ideas, some things which caught my attention about Birchas Hamazon. We have the mitzvah, very one of the most choshev mitzvahs, so the one of the mitzvah, the araisa, a person can mekayiv every time he eats, he's satisfied. The mitzvah, the araisa, the Achalta, the Sevata, the Rachta, Shem Lokech, the Ursa, the Shem Lokech, and the Sin Loch. We all struggle with this mitzvah. It's the ultimate skula. You don't have to go to Meiron. You don't have to give tzedakah to these exotic causes, and you don't have to do all these strange things. The ultimate skula is Birchas Hamazon, to recite Birchas Hamazon with kavana. And unfortunately, we always struggle with this. Something that you do every single day, it becomes difficult. It becomes difficult to do in the proper way. So I saw this week different stories about Birchas Hamazon, and it was really one thing caught my attention. There was a certain gadol. His custom was to always recite Birchas Hamazon from his Rosh Hashanah Machzor. It's now soon coming to a Yimei'el. He had on the table the whole year round the machzor that he used for Rosh Hashanah. I guess if he didn't get dirty, how you know you don't want him to come to Rosh Hashanah with a dirty machzor. And someone asked him, why are you, there's no shortage of benchers? You want a bencher? I have. Warehouses. Warehouses of benchers. Go ask the shameless people. Warehouses of benchers. You need a bencher? I'll get you a bencher. You have to use the Rosh Hashanah machzor.
Yeah, where is benching?
In a machzor. Every machzor has benching. There's Kiddush. You know the nusach of Kiddush? There's no. I'm sorry. There is no edition of the Machzor today that you buy that will not have benching. What? They don't have benching in the Russian Machzor.
They want you to buy an Artscroll.
I don't believe it. They don't have benching in the Russian Machzor. Wow. Okay. I stand corrected. All right. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. But this Maisa and this Maisa, this tzaddik, this I don't know who the person was. I don't know. I remember the name. Whoever it was, he had a bench. He had a machzor. Okay, he had a machzor. In the machzor, had the Rosh Hashanah. So he said because he wants to remember the Yom Hadin. The Yom Hadin when he bent. There's nothing more chashev in the no Rosh Hashanah. Yom Hadin b'tzfila. There's no greater tzfila than Birchas Hamazon. And to some degree, Rosh Hashanah by him is very special, by many of us is very special. He davened the whole day with Shofar and all the things that it captures, and it makes an impression, and he feels that every Birchas Hamazon should be said with the Kavanah of Rosh Hashanah. And to some degree, it helps in the struggle that I think we all relate to, in the struggle of properly saying Birchas Hamazon with Kavana. Okay, we have another day.
Yeah.
What does he say in the video?
It says, May Rishis Hashanah.
Oh, Al Achris Shanah. Okay, this is a different word. Okay. May Rishis, when the beginning of the year is Rishis Hashanah. Al Achris Shanah. When the year comes to an end, it's just another year. But in the beginning, this is going to be the year. So either you want to say that the benching should be, this is going to be the benching. Every benching is an opportunity to be a Yashar Koyach. Very, very nice. Okay, let's now go to another idea in benching. Just a short idea. We have four brachas in benching. The first bracha benching is Birchas Hazan. Who is Misaki Birchas Hazan? Moshe Rabbeinu. Second bracha was Yoshua Eretz Ala Oretz. Noidil Hashem Al Shinchal Talav Vosem Eretz. Chenda Tova Rechava. The third bracha is Yerushalayim. Who is Misaki Dovr Shlomo? Dovr Shlomo Yishlam in the base of Migdash. And the fourth bracha is with Rabbanan, according to most Poskim, that was established in Beitar, Harugi Beitar, after the Churban base. I mean, the Churban wasn't really over until Harugi Beitar. The Bayis Sheni, okay, the Bayis was destroyed, but it was still a Yishuv. Beitar was the Makeh Bepatish. It was the last blow to the Churban base. 52 years later? I think it was 52 years later after the Churban base Hamikdash. That was really the Churban, the end of the Churban, and the Mason were not allowed to be, they would, the Goyim, the Romans, did not allow them to bury the dead for 7 years. After 7 years, miraculously, the Mason did not decompose, and they were able to give them the Kovod Acharon. They were able to have the Zuchus. It's not something you can take for granted that in the Shama, every time you go Rachmal Son, you go to a Levi, you pass a funeral, you pass a cemetery. It's a big Zuchus that a body has Kavura. It's something which is something to be said about it. And now their bodies were nitin l'kavura after 7 years. Wasn't a simple matter. And if they were masakin the bracha of, they were masakin the bracha of hatoyv hametiv. It's interesting that I saw one, why they were masakin hatoyv hametiv, because it always falls out tuba. When would the mason nitin l'kavura? On tuba of. And Tubav always falls in Parshas Ekev. And Parshas Ekev is always the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon. So the Bedavka wanted to remind Klal Yisrael of this event. It's very interesting, the reason. What's the Shaychus? Why are you connecting Harugi Beitar to Birchas Hamazon? So it's Bedavka, since it happened in Parshas Ekev, on Tu B'Av, and Tu B'Av is Birchas Hamazon, so it's a reminder, there are other reasons, but it's a reminder of this event in a timely way. But I want to say,
the
Misakin, Yoshua. So I want to say a little bit of a drush of why there are B'davka four brachas. The first bracha was established by Moshe. For what? When did they recite Birchas Hamazon? They didn't have food. They had man. Man is lechem abirim. It's spiritual food. It's food for the neshama. It's not a real food. It's not. Moshe was Misake, and every time we recite Birchas Hamazon, we're reminded of the man. It's not. It was not really established for physical food. V'chalta v'savata. It's ruchnius, it's spirituality. The second bracha is for the earth. It's gashmius. Noidilu Hashem lokim al shenchat l'avsem eretz. The focus of the second bracha is not on ruchnius. It's on davar gashmi, the earth. The third bracha, uvenei Yerushalayim, kemigdal David tzavarech. What is Yerushalayim? What is the base of Midrash? It's the chibur. It is the ultimate connection between of Ruchnius and Gashmius. The Beis HaMikdash is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashre Hishchina upon this earth. It's where they connect. The neck of a person is the place where the Ruchnius, the Moyach, and the Guf come together. The Beis HaMikdash is called the neck. Kemigdal David Tzavarech. Your neck, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is like the Beis HaMikdash. Beis is the Chibur. So the third bracha is now where the Ruchnius comes together with the Gashmius. The fourth bracha is when they separate. What? Well, not Chiyas HaMesim, so they separate. It's before Chiyas HaMesim. It's separation, death. The fourth bracha is Haruge Beitar. What happened to Rege Beitar? The bodies were given to kfur. What happened when the bodies came to kfur? The Chazal tell us, we don't know what these things mean. These were very mysterious, mystical things, that the neshama is released. The neshama can finally find menuchin, the ilm emes, when the body has kvura. It's the separation of the neshama and the guf after the process has been fulfilled. So what's really happening in the Birchas Hamazon is a process. There's a process. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ruchnias. We thank Him for the gashmias. And then we thank Him for this amazing concept, this amazing thing where the ruchnias and the gashmias come together. They're synthesized. They're brought together. And the example that's used is Yerushalayim, because that is the ultimate makom of synthesis of ruchnias and gashmias. And that works, that does its magic, that takes its course for the person's lifetime. And then we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what happens after, when the ruchnias and the gashmias go back on their own way. The ruchnias, the neshama, goes back to the Elam HaEmes, and the davar gashmi goes back to the earth, where it came from. So if you're going through the Birchas Hamazon, you're going through the process of life. Ruchnis, first bracha, the man, davar ruchni, davar 100 ruchni, davar gashmi, the chibur, and then its ultimate separation. This is the process of chayim. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the bracha of Birchas Hamazon. Okay, let's go to another idea.
You say the mon is a davar ruchni.
Yes.
It says that any time, any taste of bottle, anything they wanted, they taste.
Einochinami.
That's a
So let's give you a quick mashal. Okay, this is another idea, another interesting idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, two things go together. Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parashah says, "Alechem loyichalti mayim loyishasiz." Moshe went to Shrem for 40 days, 120 days, and while he was there, he tells Klaish, "I didn't eat." The man is also described as vayancha vayari veka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayancha, He afflicted you. Vayanicha with a shvano. Right? Shouldn't be Hashem answered you. Vayanicha vayari veka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He afflicted you. He tortured you. And He also made you hungry. Vayari veka. He made you hungry. Vayachilchau. Vayachilcha es haman asher lo yadat v'lo yodun avosecha. I don't know, let me ask your question. How could it possibly be that they were hungry? If the man, Chazal tell us, the man tasted like anything which he thought. So if you wanted to taste a steak, you wanted to taste some fish, so whatever, anything that you fancy, that's what it tastes like. So why then were you hungry?
Well, Hashem made him hungry before he ate the man.
Before they ate the money? Okay, that's one answer. Okay, different alchem. Okay, one answer, someone told me this answer yesterday. One answer, we know that the mon fell in front of your house.
Yeah.
Right, it depends. The mon fell, everyone was different. For the tzaddikim, it fell at the front door. Home delivery. Home delivery. Overnight. Home delivery. If you were a Beinoni, you had to go to the post office. Okay? You got a slip. Okay? If you were below the status of a Beinoni, then there was no shipping. Come pick it up. Okay, you had to travel a long distance. So everyone was watching each other every morning. Ooh, let's see. So, could you imagine me? So everyone was watching. Ooh, is this guy, did he do an Aveiro? What did he do last night? So if a person comes in the morning and by the Rebbe, there's no mon by the front door. Ooh. Some, what? No, something is wrong. So every time a person had an esayon, should I do the Avera, should I not do the Avera? You said to yourself, if I do the Avera, there's no home delivery tomorrow. And that means I'm going to be embarrassed. My neighbors are going to see the food didn't come front door. I'm going to be embarrassed. You know what? I won't do the Avera. That's torture. It's spiritual torture to be constantly being tested. See, you live in the light, you live like today. Listen, today I'll do the Avera. It's plenty of time until Rosh Hashanah. I'll do tshuva. Even Chazal say you do an Avera, I'll not do tshuva, it's not going to work. But people, they brainwash themselves. They fool themselves of thinking, leave me alone. What do you want from me already? What do you want from me? I'm only a person. I have to do a few Averas. A little bit. Later on, I'll do tshuva. But in the midbar, you couldn't do that. Because you could do it, do whatever you want, but if you did it, you saw the consequences immediately. It was torture. It was spiritual torture. That's vayancha. That wasn't that you were hungry. Let's say Taka you were nichshel. My uncle told me this far yesterday. Let's say Taka you were nichshel. You Taka did an avera. So now you're embarrassed. They not necessarily. Not everyone goes out to daven at the same time. There's a 6 o'clock meeting, a 6:30 meeting, a 7 meeting. The only time I'll be embarrassed is if they see me in the post office, or if they see me on a bus. Where are you going? I'm going to pick up my food. So you know what? I just won't go to the post office today. I won't go. I won't get on the bus. No one's going to know. When they don't see the food, they'll say, he went to the early minion. He went to the early minion. But what is the consequence? I'm hungry. If I'm going to skip, if I'm going to try to spare the vizyonis, I'm going to skip, then I'm going to be hungry. So vayancha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tortured us spiritually, which was a good thing, in order to keep us holding in a high madrega. And then when we were taka, we nichsho, we were so embarrassed of our sins, we had no choice but to go hungry. In order, it's not good for shidduchim if someone should see you in the post office. Right? It's not good. You don't want to be caught in the post office, Mela. You have to go on a diet. But if you go on a diet, they're going to say he's too thin. He's not going to the post office. Something is going on. Whatever you do is no good.
What happens if, let's say, someone in the household,
we don't know. Okay, whatever. What are the little horror on this idea? There's a beautiful marshal. When you go to a chasna, you pay top dollar, the best caterer, the most, and you, it's kesuda shleim b'shaita. Right, you put out the best food, Viennese table, a smorgasbord with carving stations, and you have a choice for the main dish. You have a choice of 5 different choices. There's loy chosar davar. Let me ask you, the chosim kala, the day after the wedding, ask them, did you eat anything? Did you eat from the Viennese table? No. Did you eat from the smorgasbord? No. Did you eat the main? What did you choose for the main course? You know, I really don't remember. I don't remember. I was just so fatracht in the chasana. Hey, they b'chol kima don't eat anything. The mechutanim, do they eat? Very little. Maybe a little bit more in the chasan kala, but not too much. What about the immediate family, the siblings? They're busy taking pictures, running around, greeting the guests. They're also very little. What about the guests? What about the mechubadim? Well, they're in and out, very busy, in and out. You know, they're busy, the Masada Kedushin, they have to make all the arrangements. They eat less. The guests, oh, they eat. Who gets the best deal? The collectors. They have no shaykhis, right? They have no shaykhis. Who's the chas of the kala? Just the collector. The caterers, oh no, they're gonna ruin the whole wedding, the ambiance of this expense. You know what? They do this today. Sit down in the room here, we're gonna give you all the food. Kisuda shloim b'shaita. And they have a field day. They sit down and they have a good meal. They have no shaykhis to the simcha, and yet they are the ones who are enjoying the suda more than anyone else. So that's the mashal. The mashal is, in this world, the more yeshayich, the more of a baal simcha you are in this world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the less you enjoy this world. There's a lot in this world. This world has a lot to offer. This is not my mashal. I saw this mashal in a Hasidic sefer. This world has a lot to offer. You can go traveling all over the world. You can take advantage of all the golf courses. There are a lot of golf courses out there. Each one has its milas. There's a lot of types of food. But if you're Isaac in Ruchnius, you have no time for this. A person that's Isaac in Ruchnius Yem V'Layla doesn't have time. He doesn't have time for the snarishkeit. You're busy. So you're not nena. This is also captured in the man. Vayancha vayariveka. Hashem made you hungry. Made you hungry? When the man can taste like kesuda shleim b'shaito? Yeah, take taste kesuda shleim b'shaito, but you have to understand, the man is also lechem abirim. You also got a spiritual boost with the man. When you ate the man, it was like you just learned the shas. You got with the man what was a spiritual injection. And also, you have the option with that spirit of also having kavana. But you walked away, the tzaddikim walked away from eating the man hungry. Why were they hungry? Because it was spiritual food. And that spiritual food was so overwhelming they didn't really have an opportunity, they were the Baal Simcha, and they didn't really focus on the gashmius byproduct that was possible to derive from the man. So he teased us. I'm giving you, you go to the wedding hall, look where the place is, gorgeous. It's unbelievable. The food is just, you'll never have food like this the rest of your life. But today I'm the chasam and kala. I'm the Baal Simcha. I don't have time for the food. I'm busy with more important things. Things of nitzchias. That's exactly what the man was. The man was, it was spiritual food, but also, it's still called in this week's parasha, torturing you and making you hungry because you didn't have the opportunity to enjoy it because the spiritual element of the man was so overwhelming.
Also when dealing with ruchnias, with spiritual things, the more you have, the more you find that you lack.
It's another idea. That's another mahalach. That's a different mahalach.
The wedding is a very good mashu. Family in the chasam kala, they don't go to get the food. They bring you, the food is brought to them. The guests will have to go to, let's say, the buffet, and the people that come to be mesameach have even less food. Someone who's a tzaddik, let's say, who's at a spiritual level, it's bittle zman for him to go run after food when he really doesn't need it.
Hashem.
So the food puts him down.
Comes to him.
You have a little avarus, so you have to make an effort. Effort is the schar mitzvah also that you're going to get the
Yeah, but it's not the same.
You have more, you have to do more. So.
Excellent, right.
How else would you make a shit? Yeah, yeah. I mean, other people at the post office.
Okay.
When the driver had my limousine to the post office.
Okay.
Aaron, when you go to the post office.
By the way.
Yes.
I think that the tzaddikim get schar delivering and moving the house, the man, people who might otherwise be Hashem.
Right. Okay. Again, they're different. They're different. They're different. Amorei Chazal. They're different. Different Mahalchim. Absolutely. Okay. I just want to do two ha'aros. Okay. These are not. This not, nothing very. Nothing very deep. Just two ha'aros related to Inyanei Diyoma. Unfortunately, Rachman Lutzan, we're dealing with a very difficult situation in Eretz Yisrael, and there are two psukim here in this week's parasha which. They were written obviously the Matan Torah, but if to this day and age, for our times, I don't think there's ever been a time where they've been so much appreciated, like they're relevant like they are today. What are the two psukim? Beginning of Perek Tes. Perek Tes says Shema Yisrael Atoy Ver Hayem Es Hayarden Lavo Loreshes Goyim. Very just an observation. Lavo Loreshes Goyim. You're coming into Eretz Yisrael to conquer, to possess Goyim Gidoylim V'Atzumim. Rashi picks up on the unusual expression Gidolim v'atzumim mimeka. Rashi says Ato otzum. You, the Jewish people, you are mighty. Don't make any mistake about it. But be aware, Vehem atzumim mimeka. But the nations of the world, they're even more mighty. If you listen to the news the last couple of months, even years, there are two opinions you'll always hear pieces of. Whether it's from the commentators, the bloggers, the media, or even among us, you'll hear people say, "Oh no, it's hopeless. This we're surrounded by enemies. It's just a matter of time until they dissolve us, until they destroy us." You hear this? You hear Rahman Hussein, you hear such things? People may making predictions. How much longer can the state of Israel survive, surrounded by all of these mighty Arab nations? It's just going to come a time when it's all going to come to an end. And Rahman Hussein, many people take these words of nonsense seriously, and it brings on among certain groups of people a certain degree of depression. It brings upon them depression that, let's right. I mean, Derech HaTeva, we are in a lot of trouble, and it's depressing. We don't have any self-esteem. On the other hand, you listen, watch, read. Other people say just the opposite. The IDF has more firepower in the Middle East than all the Arab nations combined. And in a matter of 5 minutes, they can wipe out Iran and wipe out all the Palestinians in a matter of seconds. There's nothing to worry about. Who's right? What is a Torah perspective on dealing with the situation? What is a person's mindset in dealing with this matzah that we find ourselves in today? So I'm not a rabbi, I'm not any big thinker, but there's an interesting Rashi. Rashi here says something very, very powerful. Shema Yisrael, you're coming into Eretz Yisrael, let me tell you the attitude. Atoy v'hayom esayen lovo l'resh eskoyim gedolim v'yatsumim mimeka. Ato otzum. You don't ever forget, don't have low self-esteem. Ata otsum. You are mighty. That's right. You have the best technology, the best weapons, the best trained army, the best of the best. Otsum. No one in the world history has accomplished what you have accomplished in these 70 years. Ata otsum. Have self-esteem. But you also have to remember, v'heim atsumim mimeka. You have to be afraid. That's taka true. There are nations, you're surrounded by, you're in a den of lions, you're surrounded by your enemies. It's a scary world. They are otsum mimeka. And therefore you have to have mimispal, and you need siyata deshmaya, and you need a kadosh baruch hu to watch. Don't be miyayesh. Don't live. Hey matsum mimeka. That's one approach. I'm a nothing. I'm finished, it's helpless. And don't live with an attitude. I am otsum, and I have nothing to worry about. It's different. It's elu v'elu. Ata'atzum, but you have to also realize v'heim atzum mimeka. You need siyata d'shmai. This is a Torah attitude. The Torah is telling us in this week's parasha, Rashi, something very relevant to our times. Another very relevant pasuk is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells that we're going to give us Eretz Yisrael, he tells us this concept of Hashem will send the tzira. Hashem's going to send Hamasos Hagdelos Asheru Inechva. It's the most mighty Yeshayin Chazaka. Yisrael Tu Yashar Yitzir Hashem Elokim Kinyatze. Hashem Hirlo Cholam Asher Atoyari Menim Veganes Hatzira. Hashem, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is going to send a hornet. Not necessarily a hornet. It means Sheret Soif, a certain type of creature that flies. Insect. The Tzira Yishalach. Hashem Elokecha, but Hashem will sin against your enemies. Why? Ad avoid hanishonim v'hanisonim mipanecha. Lo yisalas v'neyem ki Hashem Elokecha b'kirbecha kel little v'nori, don't be afraid. V'noshal, and through this tzira, Hashem will cast out Hashem Elokecha es hagoyim ho'el mipanecha me'at, me'at. Little by little, lo suchal kaloy sama here. You're not going to be able to get rid of your enemies in one shot quickly. Pen tirbel lecha chayas hasodeh. Now, when you read this passage, I was very young. Okay, what does this mean exactly? You look at Rashi, the Mefarshim. Rashi tells us that we're dealing with during a time when Klal Yisrael golus, when they have sinned, because if Klal Yisrael was living during the time of the Beis Hamikdash Yekayim, then we would be at peace with our enemies. So we wouldn't need to come on to wiping them out. So this refers to the time of golus, and we're going to conquer. They're going to sin. We're going to conquer ma'at ma'at. What does this mean in today's day and age? It's very simple. The tzira is basically precision targeting. Minimize collateral damage. Rashi, what does the tzira do? It shoots poison in the eyes of the enemy. The eyes are a very small part of a person's body. It's a very small area, the eyes. And it's very hard. It's very hard to, a person's always protecting his eyes. Yet the tzira has the koyach of precision targeting. And by doing this, the enemy is neutralized. It's not that it's destroyed, it's neutralized. They go blind, they can no longer reproduce, it's misoris them. The enemy is not obliterated, they're neutralized. And why is this so? Why is it so? Because if I would allow you to go and wipe out, kill the enemy, and they should all die, they'll be lying dead on the ground, then the chayas hasad, the wild animals, will come and take their carcasses, and the smell of their flesh will come, there'll be lions and bears, and that will be a sakana for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, it's not a good idea. So what does this pasuk mean in modern times? And it's included in the world. Who are the chayas hasodeh? The chayas hasodeh is a mashal. I don't mean to say anything negative. I do mean negative. I don't mean to get myself in trouble. You know what I mean? Chayas hasodeh is a mashal for the umos ha'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us here, when Torah was telling, giving a brach, there will come a time when you're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the technology of the tzira, of precision targeting, where you'll be able, through hellfire missiles, iron dome, and special type of helicopters and drones. That's a new thing, right? They're giving you the tzira, that's right, precision targeting to take out your enemy, minimize collateral damage. Why? Why is this so necessary? Because the IDF can 5 minutes can carpet bomb the whole Gaza. It can be over it literally in 5 minutes. It'll never be a problem once again. What is the consequence of that? Pen tirbe alecha chayas hasodeh. Chayas hasodeh are the umos ha'olam, the United Nations. If we would carpet bomb our enemies, there would be a world war. The chayas hasodeh would not tolerate it. And Neil Kadosh Baruch Hu says that's the way it's going to be in Gulf. Rashi says this is what's going to happen when you're not 100% holding with the program. You're not doing with Sunder Shalmakim. Rashi says then it's going to have to be b'derech me'at. Me'at. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a bracha. I'm going to give you the tools in order for it to be ma'at me'at with the tzira, precision targeting, minimize collateral damage, so that the umos ha'olam can't say no. They can't say to you, what are you doing? Because otherwise, if we wouldn't have the tzira, and we would have no choice but to do the conventional means what the United States did to Germany, to carpet bomb the whole Germany like that. Japan, can tirbe alecha Hiroshima, ben tirbe, if we would do that, can tirbe alecha chayas hasodeh. So this pasuk mamish, is speaking to us in this generation. It's never been more true than the 21st generation.
The Israeli army supplied something between 6,000 and 8,000 goggles, and they found out that by doing that, they reduced to almost zero the eye damage of soldiers because the eyes are sensitive, like you just said, and you dust or sharp, whatever damages the eyes. So you say,
text that. Okay, this is. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Another quick idea. Okay, we have over here this parasha though. Okay, I'm going to jump to another idea because this is probably the last thing. Okay, the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha. Towards the end of the parasha, we have the parasha of Vahoyu Im Shamoy. There's a very bizarre Rashi. Rashi says Vahoyu Im Shamoya Leman Yibu Yimechem. Okay, you should do the mitzvos. You should do it. It's not the parasha. I'm sorry. It's the pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Samtem Es Divarai Eile Al Levavchem V'Al Nafshechem U'Kesharetem Al Samli Os Al Yedchem V'Chayu L'Totofos Bein Enechem. Rashi U'Shmartem Es Divarai Eile Af La'Achar Shetiglu. Even after you go into exile. After the base Hamikdash is destroyed and you go into exile, hey, you mitzuyon in the mitzvos. Be excellent. Make sure that you adhere to the mitzvos with excellence. And Rashi says, what should you do? Hanichu tefillin. Make sure you put on tefillin every day. Asu mezuzos. Make sure you fix the mezuzos to your home. Kidei shelo yihyu lochem chadoshim kishetachzu. So that when you return to your homeland in Eretz Yisrael, it shouldn't be like a new mitzvah. Practice the mitzvos and chutz liaretz. And the two examples of practice are tzilin and mezuzah. V'chein hu omer, ha'tzivi l'chot tzioinim. Okay, you shall set up markers. You shall basically practice the mitzvos. Now all of the farshim is the question, what? Practice tefillin. Tefillin is a mitzvah that's totally in the goof. It has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. There's no difference in the observance of tefillin and mezuzah and chutz liaretz in Eretz Yisrael. So if you want to give a mitzvah of practice, so maybe Truman Meiser, which anyway we don't practice in Chutz Liaretz, or you want to refer to a Chodosh, Kei Chodosh, that's a whole Shaila. So I'll tell you in a moment. There are other mitzvahs that we indeed practice in Chutz Liaretz. We practice blowing shofar, right? Is that a mitzvah we practice, blowing shofar?
The
only apply in Eretz Yisrael. I take it back, and that's another good example. But there are certain mitzvahs, the only thing we practice. What does Rashi say that you should practice in Chutz Liaretz? Darim Golus, Tfilin, and Mezuzah. So indeed, some want to say that there's a Tos Hadfus, the Gros says, there's a Tos Hadfus. There's a mistake. All versions of Rashi did not have that spelled out. It said, Hey, Tess. Hey, Nahina, Hey, I'm sorry, Hey, Tough, Hey, Tough. Hey, Tough means, Hefrishu, trumos. Be mafrish truma. Now we don't mind. They were mafrish truma in Bavel. In Bavel, there was a custom to give truma, not in America, but there was a custom to give truma in Bavel. And when it says asu mezuzos ayin mem. Isru ma'asros. You shall separate ma'aser. So ma'aser, so the Rashi really meant to say that what should you practice in Bavel? Practice the mitzvah of Truma and practice tithing. What?
Why should he be concerned about Bavel?
Why should Rashi
be concerned about Bavel?
Okay, why not? Because he's saying once in France and Germany, they already didn't do it there. They didn't. Okay, all right. It's a good point. You should practice. After you come into Eretz Yisrael, it's okay, fine. But that's how I'm supposed to say. However, that's not what it says in our article edition. I don't know what the Gros said. I only have an art scroll. Gros didn't see the art scroll. Maybe he saw the deer shoe. You don't know what I'm talking about here, okay? He understands what I'm talking about. I don't know politics. What? What?
It's not
Sa. Alright. But a lot of private jokes going on over here. Okay, there is another interpretation. Other person we want to learn is that here's the files. There's something very unique about the mitzvah of tefillin. What's unique about the mitzvah of tefillin is v'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecho v'yar mimek. Okay, there's a mitzvah of tefillin, but tefillin represents a concept. And the concept is the Klal Yisrael, they're the Or La'am, they are the light for all nations. The only way Klal Yisrael can be an Or La'am, can truly fulfill its tafkid is when they're living in Eretz Yisrael. Ayin Yisrael is Alad Mosan. They're in Eretz Yisrael, Alad Mosan, with safety and security, and then they can serve for the entire world as an Or La'am, then it will be fulfilled. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz, ki shem Hashem nikro lecha v'yaru mimecha. But in Golis, we don't have that. What is the only marshal that we have for this lofty concept that will be true one day? We have tefillin. Tefillin represent that concept. The other idea is mezuzah. What is mezuzah? A bias, a makom that's your makom. Where is Klal Yisrael as a whole? Where is the bias of Eretz Yisrael of Klal Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael. We don't have. We're in Golis. We don't have a bias, but still set up a home in Chutz Li'aretz, just like this, the way you would live if you were living in Eretz Yisrael, you're living Bizman, Beis HaMikdash HaYekayam. These are not necessarily, we don't mean, Rashi never meant them to be mitzvos, as mitzvos specific. He meant the deeper concept behind these mitzvos. One other thing, quick thing, which caught my attention, it's not necessarily talking to the halacha, but an idea from Rabbi Bernstein. Rabbi Bernstein, Windows of the Soul, I believe. It's a 2-volume sefer, you know, from Art Scroll. Windows of the Soul, he's a psychologist, I believe, and he wrote a Perush Mechumash. He has a very interesting question. We have a halacha that tefillin, a mezuzah has to be checked twice in 7 years. And now, why? Why the Chazal define checking in twice in 7 years? To say every 3 years, well, what's this all about? What is done twice in 7 years? Meister Ani. In the Shemitah cycle, Bzman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayakayam. So you have a Shemitah cycle of 7 years. In year 3 years, you have Ma'aser Ani. The Ani, where does the Ani come when it comes to collect? Ani, Chazal's description is Machzir Al Hapsachim. He comes to your door. Chazal telling you when you check your mezuzah, check the mezuzah twice in 7 years. Why? They're trying to remind you about Ma'aser Ani. When the Ani is Machzal HaPsachim, he comes to your mezuzah, ask yourself, why is it that I'm in the home and the Ani is outside the home? Do I really deserve, maybe it should be the other way around. Maybe the Ani deserves to be living indoors in a safe, secure environment, and I am the one who deserves to be struggling for Parnasa. So Mimela, you check your mezuzah twice in 7 years, the Ani is Machzal HaPsachim, remember, it's also tied into Shemitah, because Shemitah is the cycle of 7 years. 7 years of Shemitah. When do you have the cycle of the Chumas HaFrishu Maestros, Chumas HaMaestros? HaFrishu Chuma, HaFrishu Maestros, this concept. It's according to the other version of Rashi, it's Mizmah in Eretz Yisrael when you have a... When you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and you have a Shemitah, and then you have twice a year. Even when you're in Galus... When you're in Golis, make sure you put up mezuzahs and make sure you observe the mitzvah of Meister Ani. And my sonny is a mitzvah which will bring a person, you know, to be mekayim the mitzvah of stuck in the schutz of stuck, as I said, there will be the gula will come. Okay, with that we will conclude. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.